The Pentagon says it's approved a request to send an additional 2,100 troops to the Mexican border. The U.S. Department of Defense says contingent will consist of about 1,000 Texas National Guards and 1,100 active duty troops. It's the latest deployment of troops in support of President Donald Trump's crackdown on immigration. There are currently about 4,500 troops along the border. Trump has been criticized for his immigration policy, which the U.S. president has made a centerpiece of his election and 2020 presidential campaign. Now joining us for this news review is Lyle Shaz, the political commentator, joining us out of San Juan, and Ramiro Fuentes, co-editor of Anti-Conquista, an anti-imperialist media collective out of Los Angeles, California. Gentlemen, I want to welcome you both to the program. I guess we'll start there in Los Angeles. Ramiro, your thoughts on Donald Trump's, you know, his stance and his demonization of immigrants in America.
I think what we see going on with Donald Trump and the persecution of migrants is nothing new. It's part and parcel of the history of the United States, which is a settler colonial country built on the exploitation of Black and Indigenous people for hundreds of years. It has happened under the Democrats and the Republicans. And the ongoing theme is the military-industrial complex. We can't talk about crackdowns on migrants without talking about the prison and military-industrial complex. These are two institutions and two industries that back both the Republican and Democratic parties. They make money from deploying troops because that's jobs, that's money for them. So they're looking for battles to fight. They're looking for people to repress. The business model of the U.S., of the prison and military-industrial complex, is such that they constantly need new people to attack, and lo and behold, that group now are migrants predominantly from Central America, who the U.S. also represses back in their own home countries. So what we see happening now with Trump is a continuation of the policies that have gone on for hundreds of years in the United States by both Democrats and Republicans.
And now if I could swing over to you, Lajos. Lajos, should we, you know, as the international community, be more concerned about Donald Trump's attitude and his remarks towards immigrants, or should we be more concerned with the fact that so many Americans actually support his views?
Well, they should be worried about both kind of things. Of course, this is just one aspect, one characteristic of the Trump administration. We all know that they are looking for wars in the Persian Gulf area, in Syria. Then there is the issue of trying to dismantle the arms control process with Russia. Those are other subjects, I know. But as part of that policy of confrontation, and I would say of aggression to some degree, there is this issue of the treatment towards immigration to the United States from Spanish America, from Mexico, from Central America. And we can see there that facet, that characteristic of the Trump administration and those that voted for Trump and they are willing to support him in 2020, the racism, the xenophobia, anti-Hispanic xenophobia, the racism against peoples that have Native American Indian and American Indian blood, for example, in the case of these migrants, and the fact that Trump has already expressed that people that come from some of those countries in Central America, in addition to sub-Saharan Africa, well, he mentioned a very pejorative, a very negative term, you know, like they are like cesspool countries, that these people are coming, very disrespectful, and it has been quoted. Well, he denied it, but it probably is typical Trump that he would have preferred for migrants from Norway, from the Scandinavian countries, obviously white, blonde, blue eyes, etc., to come to the United States. But I'm not only worried about the issue of preventing the masses of people who, like in the latest wave of immigration towards the United States, they are looking for a better life. It's like the millions of people that at the turn of the 19th century to the 20th century, Ireland, and they were looking from Europe mainly a better life. Well, now is the turn of people coming south of the U.S. border from Spanish America, Mexico, Central America, South America. They want also as immigrants, because let us not forget, yes, the United States is a country of immigrants. Now is the turn of these millions of people looking for opportunities, but because of racism on the part of Trump and his Republicans, and yes, Democrats too, then they are making it harder. But there is that issue. The other issue, I'm afraid, is the persecution of immigrants that are undocumented already in the United States. And when I see images of police going after the immigrants, it reminds me to the Nazis going after Jews in Germany, I mean, and putting them in concentration buildings. They don't call them concentration camps, but that's what they are, concentration buildings.
Just give me 1 second. I want you to finish your thought. Let me just get this piece out to our viewers real quick. Now, coming to the U.S. with a little hope of having the American dream come true, and that because of a tough immigration stance by the U.S. administration. Critics say his stance has created inhumane and horrifying conditions at border facilities along the U.S. southern border with Mexico. Have a look.
These people are migrants reaching the Mexico-U.S. border, mainly from Central America. Fleeing violence and poverty at home, they seek asylum in the U.S.
El motivo de andar por acá pues es buscar una vida mejor, no una educación para mis hijos.
Whether they are granted asylum or not is a matter of time. It takes days, weeks, or even months while their cases are assessed by American immigration officials. During this time, migrants are held in border facilities in Texas, staying in rooms or cage-like cells, all packed in. That's according to U.S. lawmakers, inspectors, and lawyers touring the camps. They've spoken of the dangerous overcrowding, the unsafe and unsanitary conditions there.
When we went into the cell, it was clear that the water was not running. There was a toilet, but there was no running water for people to drink. In fact, one of the women said that she was told by an agent to drink water out of the toilet.
Children separated from their families, denied soap and toothpaste and enough food.
I've been doing work with immigrant children and families in detention for more than 12 years now, and I have never seen conditions as degrading and inhumane as what we saw in Clint. The children there were hungry, dirty, sick, scared.
Others said conditions were deplorable and despicable. A lawmaker called it horrifying. But President Trump rejects this.
And I've seen some of those places, and they are run beautifully. They're clean, they're good, they do a great job.
Trump has taken tough policies aimed at preventing migrants from coming to the U.S. He says they're entering the country illegally, with most of them being criminals. The managers of the border facilities say the number of asylum seekers at the U.S. southern border has reduced from a previous surge. But these sites are facing a situation one manager called a ticking time bomb.
And now back to our guests, Ramiro. Your thoughts on these deplorable conditions that we just saw? I don't know if you guys were afforded the opportunity, but we just saw some really, horrible conditions. And Donald Trump says he's been down there, and those facilities are run great, and they're pristine and clean. But that's a stark contrast to what we just saw. Your thoughts on that?
I think what we just saw right now with the horrible conditions of the concentration camps along the border is a testament to just how irrational the U.S. government is at managing its own problems. For example, they make money from creating prisons, but then they're too cheap to even bring running water or housing or beds or decent humane living conditions. And so it just exposes the root of the greediness, the system of greed that is dominant in the United States, where they want to lock people up, but they don't even want to spend money to have adequate water, food, clothes, and housing. And it's a perfect example of why the U.S. should be the last country in the world to talk about humanitarian crises. You know, we had a few months ago, and going back a few years, the U.S. constantly talking about inhumane conditions in Syria, across the Middle East. Yet, looking at its own backyard, it's horrible conditions, concentration camps where people are literally dying from malnutrition, lack of water. And so this is yet again a perfect example. And I want people to remember this moment in a few months from now when the U.S. tries to ramp up its war efforts against Iran or Syria or other or Venezuela. People should remember this moment that the U.S. is not a humanitarian hero. They are horrible at treating people, treating its own problems. So we have to keep this in mind the next time the U.S. tries to talk badly about other countries and how they treat its people.
And now, Laios, you're actually in the middle of a thought, but just somewhere in there, I want you to throw in the fact that it's funny that Ramiro was speaking about the hypocrisy involved. Donald Trump is only two generations removed from an immigrant himself. So here he is closing the door behind him, something many Americans have been doing in the past couple hundred years. They get on U.S. soil as an immigrant. They either went through, up around the New York area, they went through the island there or through the southern border, whatever it is, they got a chance at the American dream, so did their offspring. Why close the door now on people that are so needy? And they're actually, a lot of these people are fleeing worse conditions than previous American citizens.
Yes, well, there is, in my view, a naked racism, naked xenophobia against these immigrants from Central America, from Mexico, from Spanish-speaking countries. There is that issue. There is also apparently a practice, a tradition that we apparently it has been seen before, that by the turn of the 19th to 20th century, there were people who indeed were descendants from immigrants, but they were looking down at the Italian Americans, I mean, the Italian immigrants that were coming in the 20th century. They were looking down at people coming from Eastern Europe, Jews coming from the Pale, persecuted by the Tsarist Russian regime, to Polish immigrants, to Hungarians, to Slovaks. They were looking down at them when their grandparents were themselves immigrants. So there is that contradiction already. And the way they are treating in these concentration camps, concentration facilities, these immigrants from Central America, I'm not surprised about the squalid conditions and the inhumane conditions, because it reminds me to the way that the United States treated the Native Americans in North America in concentration lands, let's call it the Indian reservations. Many North Native Americans died there because of the bad unsanitary, a lack of food, a lack of water. So I'm not surprised. It's like a repeat because perhaps it's one way why, or one explanation why people like Trump and his Republicans, they are perfectly fine in the way they treat these immigrants from Central America, because many of them, I would say the majority, have a Native American blood. And I believe that among the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants in the United States, they're still, in addition to the racism against black Americans, there is still ingrained a deeply rooted racism against Native Americans or anybody who has Native American blood. Why? I don't know, but they do have it. They are very racist about it. And that's the way, well, will be one explanation, the way they treat these people like that. They don't see them as equally humans or as good or human beings. Perhaps they see them as inferior race to themselves. So in that regard, that's unfortunately an old white Anglo-Saxon American practice since even before independence from Great Britain, the way they treated Native Americans and other minorities. So we see it all over again in this way. And I'm worried by the militarization of the border that I wouldn't be surprised that if Trump, especially if he's reelected, and even with his famous or infamous Trump wall, even if he manages to build it and the migration continues across the border, that he cannot control it, that he may even be willing to invade northern Mexico, so to try to create a security zone. I'm worried about that. Let's hope it won't happen. But they are capable of doing it.
And he's actually alluded to threats with that, in that respect, too. I want to thank you both for joining us. Gracias, caballeros. And, and to thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you both on the program. Lyle Saz, the political commentator, they're joining us out of San Juan. And Ramiro Fuentes, co-editor of Anti-Conquista and Anti-Imperialist Media Collective, they're joining us from Los Angeles. And viewers, that's a wrap for the segment of your Press TV's News Review. Thanks for tuning in, and bye-bye for now.